Welcome to the BizTimes MKE podcast, providing news and insights to the Milwaukee business community. In this episode, our podcast partner, Beth Ridley, with The Brimful Life, interviews Andrew Larson, chairman and CEO of Gustav A. Larson Company. Andrew shares how his focus on customer values and company values fuels the company's continued growth. Let's listen in.
Welcome to the Brimful Life podcast series, a partnership with BizTimes Media, your locally owned source for news, analysis, and insights for southeastern Wisconsin business leaders, and career and culture wellness company, The Brimful Life, that provides solutions to achieve professional well-being and organizational health. In this series, we make business personal by getting to know inspiring business leaders that you should know. We chat with them about their leadership journeys, lessons learned along the way, and their leadership insights. I'm your host, Beth Ridley, and today we're chatting with Andrew Larson, chairman and CEO of Gustav A. Larson Company, the Midwest's leading distributor of heating, ventilation, air conditioning, and refrigeration equipment, parts, and supplies.
And the other thing we're seeing, too, is artificial intelligence. We're seeing a big trend towards this kind of prescriptive analytics. We're looking and trying to dive into that to see how that can help us, help our customers.
Digital transformation, generational disruption, AI. Gustav A. Larson is not your grandfather's HVAC company. Well, in the case of Andrew, it is because his grandfather started the company. But what I mean is that the company is not just surviving, but thriving in a rapidly changing marketplace. Andrew shares his secrets to fostering a highly innovative, change agile, and accountable organizational culture that fuels the company's continued growth. Let's meet Andrew. Andrew, thank you for being here.
Hi, Beth. How are you? Great to be here.
Really,
thanks for having
great.
Me.
Great. Thank you for joining us. We're going to dive right in because I got to get you on a plane.
Let's
get you
do
in
it.
And out of here on a plane. All right. So, Gustav A. Larson Company, your grandfather started it in the 1900s. He was an immigrant from Sweden. You are third generation leadership for the family business. So let's start there, because it was not a foregone conclusion that you would then enter into the family business, right? So you really started your career outside of the company and in the 1990s decided that you did want to join the company. So talk us through that. Like, what were you thinking at the time when you took another career path, and then what brought you back into the company business?
Well, actually, I grew up wanting to be a doctor, so I never wanted to kind of be involved in the business. But that I did get into medical school, but at the last second took a little turn out to New York City and went to work in investment banking. So I worked there. I went back to business school at Northwestern at Kellogg. And then I worked out in product management out in San Francisco. So I worked about 9 years. And then my wife and I, who we met at Kellogg, were about to have kids. And we wanted to raise our kids with some great Midwestern values. So we were looking for opportunities in the Midwest. And at that time, an opportunity came up at the business.
Interesting.
And I think I was probably a little more mature, still not quite yet, but a little more mature at the time to realize that this was a terrific opportunity.
Yeah.
And even though at the time I thought the industry was a little mature and maybe the business wasn't that interesting, it was maybe not going to move as fast as I wanted to move at that time.
Right.
Boy, was I wrong, by the way. We'll talk about that. But we came back to Wisconsin, to Milwaukee, and came back to work at the business.
Yeah, that's really cool. And you probably bring, a good maybe outsider perspective to the business, having worked in other industries and other companies and in other cities as well.
Yeah, for me, certainly worked both in sales, product management, marketing. It was a great balance, I think, of all of that. In investment banking, a lot of the deal making came in handy. We've purchased about 10 companies in the last 20 years. What it didn't teach us, though, was that it's all about the people and the culture. We had to learn that on our own along the way.
Yeah.
But truly, what I perceived to be was a mature industry,
yeah,
it really has been dynamic and fast-paced with a tremendous amount of disruption, especially now. So we'll talk more about that later on.
Yeah. So let's talk about that, because I think, you know, HVAC people don't appreciate that it is a growth industry. And your company in particular has really been on a growth trajectory, right? So it started from very humble beginnings. And today you have over 50 service centers across the country. You have over 450 employees, and growth continues. So as CEO, what are you focused on? Where do you intentionally invest your time that you think has the most direct correlation to that growth?
Sure. Well, first of all, it all starts with our customers. That's where it all begins, where it all ends. That's the reason, our reason for being.
So, Andrew, for those who may not be super familiar with your industry, tell us a little bit about who your customers are, because you are so customer focused. So what does that mean for you?
Well, again, we're a wholesale distributor of HVAC and refrigeration, so we sell kind of business to business. So our primary customers are residential HVAC contractors, mechanical contractors that do commercial HVAC and also commercial refrigeration. But we really don't sell anything our customers do. And so it's all about how we maximize their success. And so for us, we kind of go to market to differentiate ourselves with three uniques, if you will. And that for us, number one, is setting a new standard. It's being different. It's being progressive than everyone else in our industry, looking at what those trends are and trying to lead the way. It's making it easy, making sure that our customers, you know, want to do business with us time and time again. And then the last one is for us, we take it personal. It's all about how we maximize the success of our customers, maximize their profitability through both helping them to make more money, sell more, learn about their business, learn about, you know, mechanical systems, and teach and train them on that as well. So to us, it comes back again to contributing to our customers' success.
So what are some of those things that are happening in the HVAC industry that you're really sort of watching and studying and have your eye on?
Well, there's a tremendous amount of transformational change happening across all industries, and that's impacting us as well. And I think I like to look at it, and I didn't make up this line, I think Elon Musk did, but to accelerate the inevitable. And he deserves the credit for that. But we're trying to figure out what is inevitable in our industry. And as we look at that, I mean, there's a ton of things happening. Right now, our existing customers, who are a lot of baby boomers, you know, are wanting not to see outside sales reps, as an example. Mm. We're seeing a lot of changes in generational shifts with millennials and Gen Zs that are buying things more electronically, as an example. We're seeing and having, because of that, to reduce our cost to serve and to remain competitive in the future. So what we've been doing is looking at how do we look at our customer lifecycle? How do we help transform our sales force to make sure that we are matching these trends? So as an example, we're transforming our entire sales force right now. We are looking at team selling with kind of sales, service, and support to make sure that we can take care of our customers and thrive in the future. We're looking at segmentation for the future. And really, the mantra really is, how do our customers want to buy? That's how we're trying to focus, you know, our organization.
Anybody were to think that nothing's happening in the HVAC industry.
Oh, yeah.
Don't sleep.
But a couple more things here real quick.
Yeah.
We're seeing a huge trend towards digital. So as an example, we're moving our entire marketing side to digital marketing. We're also helping our customers with digital to kind of be their digital experts. So we're working with a company called Search Kings to help them basically use the yellow pages of the future, which is Google Local Services. Mm-hmm. And that helps drive leads in their business, helps grow their business, as an example.
Yeah.
And the other thing we're seeing, too, is artificial intelligence. We're seeing a big trend towards this kind of prescriptive analytics. We're looking and trying to dive into that to see how that can help us, help our customers operationally as well as from a sales perspective. And similarly, we're also, from a change perspective, we're hearing about economic slowdowns as an example as well.
A lot of different things going on. At the end of the day, people make the business, right? You've got a team of really talented, great people that are out there executing the work, building the relationships, the sales and everything like that. But this is a lot for employees to absorb sometimes. How do they know what to focus on today, how they should be rethinking their skill set, their jobs in the future? How do you just help navigate all of that?
Let's talk a little bit about roles. I work with my brother, and we have some different roles in the business. He's what we call our integrator. He's our president. He's responsible
for— And that's Scott.
That's Scott, yep. Mm-hmm. He's responsible for leading and managing and holding our team accountable for accomplishing and executing on our plans. My role as chairman, CEO, and really visionary for the business is really to live 5 years out in the future, to really make sure that we are understanding what are the trends that are happening and how do we make sure we're moving that direction. Certainly for me as well, I'm in charge of our culture in terms of looking at our strategy, new ideas and innovations, key customer relationships, key supplier relationships are all part of what I'm focused on, as well as new opportunities and acquisitions as well.
Yeah. How do the two of you partner to make sense for employees so they don't just throw their hands up and be like, what am I supposed to be doing now?
Well, I think how we work together is it comes back to communication. I think we've got Even though we're brothers, we have some very different skill sets, which I think are very complementary in the business as well. But I think what it comes back to for us is making sure that everyone's on the same page in the business. So we have something that we kind of call our vision and traction page, if you will. But everyone knows our mission, our vision. Everyone knows our one-year plan, our three-year plan, and our 10-year plan, and they're all on basically two pages. We have quarterly state of the company meetings, so everyone knows what's going on. And so everyone has clarity about where we're going, and we're all aligned, and there is a plan. So with our business, our leaders are 100% on the same page. This helps them, I think, with discipline and strong execution, and it helps our leadership team to be healthy and all of our people to be healthy. We have a saying, we call it right people, right seats, but we want to make sure that everyone is an important part of the organization. So the right person is someone that lives our values and that also gets it and wants it and has the capacity to do it. And then, you know, that allows everyone on the team to be in hopefully the right person. And then we want to make sure they're in the right seat in the organization too. And that allows the entire team to be healthy also.
Now, I feel like, you know, every industry is dealing with a ton of change, a lot of disruption that is new, that trickles down to employees, and it really means change. What have you seen with your employee population recently in terms of their ability to be change agile, which is a skill set that's really needed for most companies going forward? And how do you foster and cultivate that among your employees?
Well, boy, that's, you know, there's a tremendous amount of change going on. And I think, again, to us, that really comes back to communication similarly. And so for us, you know, if we have the right person, as we talked about, with the right Larson values and that have that they get it, they want it, they have the capacity to do it, that's the kind of person we want on our team. And we're going to throw a lot of change their way. Mm-hmm. And I think what is so important is that everyone, we want them to have a growth mindset. We know that, you know, they're going to be part of a team with aggressive goals. They're going to be part of a team that aspires to be much larger in the future. And as a result, you know, to find these people, we hire and fire based on our core values. And we're making sure that also our suppliers and our customers live those values. And that's kind of what creates a win-win with us. But everyone's engaged. And that allows, with a tremendous amount of communication, allows us to get through that change together. It's not easy. Still probably one of the biggest things is as we inject change into the organization, we've got to communicate that much more. And that's probably the one thing that we can always do more of, if you will.
As a leader helping to lead your organization and the people in it through this change, what are the competencies that you think you rely on that are most effective in that? And I'm curious to know which ones are kind of natural to your innate abilities and where do you personally struggle and have to really invest in your own development to be good at what you do?
Yeah, well, similarly, you know, as a leader, to us, it's again, I said, living our Larson values. Part of that is being humble because it's not about us. It's about our customers. It's about trying to be vulnerable and leading by example with that vulnerability, if you will. And it allows us to make sure that we have absolute candor and that we are willing to share things and have that strong communication across the organization. To us, it's about being curious. Curious about our customers, curious about how we can do things better for them at the company as well. For me personally, it's about listening, you know, not just to the customers, but all of our employees that touch the customers in so many different ways to make sure, because they're the ones that really know. They're the ones on the front lines. Similarly, you know, to me, I have kind of a driver personality. I want to see results. I want to get things done. But as a result, it's hard for me to... I've got to find a way to make sure that I can actually, I've got to go slow to go fast, if you will. I've got to bring myself back and make sure that we're not simply sharing things with people and that they're following it. We want it truly to be shared by them, if mm-hmm. you will, if mm-hmm. that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
And so that's really part of my challenge is to be patient mm-hmm. so we can go slow to go fast and make sure that we're getting that momentum going.
Right.
As a team.
Can you just talk a little bit about what does vulnerability mean for you? How do you as the CEO, how does that come across? Because, you know, you're at the top of the company.
Well, certainly as an organization that's focused on growth, we've got to try new things. And there's with this disruption happening, we've got to try new things. And we can't be afraid to make mistakes. And it's okay to make mistakes. And I think that's how we can really let our vulnerability show through and let people know that Let's celebrate those mistakes.
So you
actually learn from them.
Communicate that?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay.
And probably never enough, right? Okay. And I think, you know, that's the challenge, is making sure everyone truly feels that and knows that, because we want them to learn from them, obviously, and not make it twice or a third time, as an example. But that's a big part of being vulnerable, is being willing to admit when you're wrong as well. And we have another thing we're trying to accomplish across the company. We call it PACE, which kind of stands for purpose, accountability, culture, and engagement. But it comes back to this vulnerability component as well, where we want people to, you know, first of all, purpose for us really is making sure that people understand that we're not simply selling boxes. We're selling comfort and clean air. And, you know, we're giving actually 1% of our profits back in the form of time, talent, and products to charitable contributions, so that people know that we've got a much bigger purpose than simply, you know, HVAC and refrigeration, if you will. For accountability in the PACE, it's about, for us, 100% accountability with no excuses. We want to make no excuses part of our culture, as an example. But we want people also to point out and be okay with, being seen, if someone does make the mistake of blaming someone, as an example. We want to, you know, bring that out and have people have the vulnerability and say, that's okay. That's how we learn. For our culture, we want to create that culture of communication. We want to create that culture of accountability. We want to create that culture of trust and openness. And we want to do that by getting everyone across the company engaged. And that's kind of what PACE, you know, means for us.
I like it. All right. So you have a lot going on. I think just to even like be centered so that you can be the inspiring leader that you are. How do you personally just like recharge and make sure that you're always tapping into your higher purpose and your why?
Well, although our business is based in Wisconsin, I actually live in Colorado. So I live in the mountains in Boulder, Colorado, and just out my door, I've got the mountains. So I actually have the opportunity to go hiking and running out the door. I've got world-class road biking and mountain biking trails right there, and I love to ski. So I love to be outdoors, and I've got a competitive mentality, and I like to go work out and work out hard. So in business and in life.
Yes, so. The interesting thing is you're also self-aware enough to know when you have to slow down in order to bring everybody else along with you.
I'm trying to learn to work on that still.
Is there anything that you do intentionally to work on that, knowing that that is an important competency that you need but not an innate skill set? So how do you actually work on that?
Well, I get reminded from my leadership team all the time, as an example.
Yeah.
I'm trying. My wife is trying to help me do a little more meditation and yoga and things like that to make sure that I'm very aware of what's going on.
Yeah.
And it is constantly trying to be self-aware.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's a process.
It is
a process.
It doesn't happen overnight. It is a journey. All right. So many good things. But here are some of my key takeaways that I think are really important for leaders to apply in whatever business or industry they're in, because there is this shared challenge and opportunity, I guess, around disruption and change. And, you know, workforce these days need to be very change agile. So here's sort of what you're doing and that works for you in your company. You really are grounding your employees and grounding the business in purpose and why. I love the fact that you're helping your employees see that it's more than just refrigeration and heating and ventilation, right? You're bringing meaning and well-being to the earth and to people's lives. And I think continue to drive that brings out the best in people, because it's a higher calling. So purpose and the why. You're really, really building a culture around trust, and that really starts with transparent communication. You talked about communication a lot, right? So making sure people know where you're headed, but also what's expected of them. And the values, I think you called it the Larson values, that is expected. And communicating very clearly the mission and the vision and the values of the company. And that transparent communication is the kind of the glue that holds everything together. It also seems like you put a lot of emphasis on people buying into those values, maybe even more so than technical skills. It sounds like you're really willing to work with people and get them in those right jobs, even if those jobs are evolving over time, as long as they have those values and a growth mindset and the curiosity and the desire to learn. Am I doing good so far?
Absolutely. Exactly.
I think these are so good. Honestly, they really are. And sometimes it's really just down to those fundamentals, especially maybe when you're working in such an innovative, fast, you know, paced company. People need to be really grounded, and they feel comfortable. They feel heard. They feel listened to. They feel like they have a stake in this. That really brings out the best in everybody.
That's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about. I will never look at HVAC the same way again, let me just say.
That's awesome.
And I can see why your company continues to be on a growth trajectory. So I just want to thank you, Andrew, for spending time with us, sharing your insights. Want to make sure we get you on that airplane so you can get back to the mountains.
Oh, we're
the
good.
Mountains are calling you.
But thank you so much. Really appreciate being here.
It was a pleasure to talk to you. You're very inspiring. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Dan Meyer with BizTimes Media. You've been listening to the BizTimes MKE podcast with our podcast partner, The Brimful Life with Beth Ridley. For more business news and insights, be sure to go to biztimes.com and subscribe to any of our daily e-newsletters and our magazine, BizTimes Milwaukee.